Welcome back to Rosie on the House. That was fun talking about the inauguration. Boy, does that ever mark time.
8,000 word inauguration speech.
We promise not to
give
you
8,000. And then he dies from catching that cold.
You know what they were missing from the parade?
Yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch it, so I don't know. I think they could probably shorten up all those ceremonies a lot, I think.
Yeah, and apparently they had it. They just didn't show it on TV, but a mounted horse unit. You saw men in uniform from colonial times to modern times. I never saw a mounted patrol, and I said that to Amanda last night. She's like, wait, no, there was. I didn't see it either, but right next to her hometown there in California, there's a town called Merced, and they sent 14 mounted officers from Merced all the way across the country in two huge semis that cost $80,000, privately fundraised. And they had 14 mounted horses.
Good.
So I miss that. They need to highlight that.
Well, we were talking.
Taste of the Old West.
National history. We're going to take a step back in time and talk about Arizona history this morning. Actually, we're going back five generations. And we're going to talk about the story of W.W. Bass. And maybe you've never heard of him. But he was one of the original entrepreneurs and adventurers and explorers of the Grand Canyon. And in the studio today, we have two guests, fifth generation Arizonan Megan Gibson. She is a country rock folksy musician who is going to work together with her mom, Debbie Probst Gibson, who wrote the book called Stories the Grand Canyon Tells, A Grand Canyon Legacy. And they have come together to tell this wonderful, exciting story of Arizona history. Welcome, ladies. Megan, thanks
Hi.
For joining us this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And Debbie?
Thank you so much for having us on.
Well, Megan had reached out to us and said, hey, I've got this project we're working on. It's called the Grand Canyon Project, and it's a story of Arizona history. And would you be interested in taking a look at it? And I said, sure. And I have to tell you, I was really wonderfully surprised. The book, the music, the graphics, it's all done so well. So, Debbie, why don't you tell our listeners, who was W.W. Bass? Let's start with the story of his father that you were telling me about.
Well, William Wallace Bass was from the East, and he made the decision to come out west in 1883. He was told that his health was failing, he didn't have long to live, and he decided that he needed to come out west. His father had come out in the early part of the century for the gold rush in 1849, and he had died in Sacramento. And I think he kind of felt he needed to kind of come out and kind of, you know, justify his life as well. And he made his way out to Williams. He was a railroad man, bounced around a little bit, was a railroad man, and ended up in Williams, Arizona. And he was told about this huge canyon about 70 miles to the north with this indigenous people, the Havasupai, that lived there. Well, that just excited him because he was curious. And not only that, but he bumped into a woman who was the 17th wife of John Doyle Lee. And this man had hidden out at the canyon, and he had stashed gold, buckets of gold there. Well, that didn't get, you know, that got his attention going, and he decided he was going to go in search of it. So off he went to the canyon, finally found his way there. And I always think, imagine him standing there on the rim of the canyon, looking out and thinking, no one around, perfectly silent, just vast expanse, and thinking, this is where I'm going to do my dance with destiny. And then his story began. He established a camp on the rim, and he would take tourists to the canyon.
And so did he ever find the gold?
No, he tried and tried and tried. It was ever elusive. Through the years, he'd made so many attempts to try to find the gold. He did, however, establish numerous mining claims. He established asbestos mines. He established copper mines. His asbestos was actually shipped over to Europe, and it was put in some of the theater curtains in Europe. That was one of the things that he did establish. But gold, no, it was elusive. Never found him. Didn't stop him from trying, though.
Well, he was quite the entrepreneur, and he had a lot of foresight and a lot of vision, and kind of helped develop that tourism industry. That was a lot different marketing something back then.
He absolutely did. It was just kind of an amazing thing. And that really wasn't his first thought when he got there. But he saw the potential, how anybody could see that standing there alone, looking out and thinking, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a life here. He established, in the end, he had established over 50 miles of trails through the canyon. He also built the road from Williams to the Grand Canyon and later a connecting road from Ash Fork to the Williams Road. He just did some amazing things. He built a cable car that kind of would haul people. This was across the Colorado River, and he did it with little or no money.
Megan?
Yeah, well, and also throughout the canyon, I mean, it bears his namesake. There's Bass Rapid, Bass Beach, Bass Camp, North and South Bass Trails that, I mean, he developed. He just was such a significant he played such a significant role in Grand Canyon tourism and really developing it into what you see today. I mean, just to look at how that has expanded, and I mean, it has reached the entire world, the globe across, and that is amazing. If you really think of that in context, it's unbelievable.
And to think that's your family,
absolutely. That's I mean, we're very proud of that, and I think that's what's so exciting about this Grand Canyon project, is truly the pride that we really have for what they really accomplished, and the determination that really came through. And I mean, the hardships that they endured, and they just persevered. And that I have so much respect for that.
That is a lot of hard work. So, Debbie, this for you is truly a work of love. This is your husband's lineage. His family.
It is. It was my husband's great-grandfather, and it was absolutely a love of history. My mom was a librarian, and she inspired that love in me when I was a young girl. And when I first discovered this story, it just really got me excited. It was an old family diary that was discovered in 1970, and in looking through this diary, I saw the roots of not only our family, but there was a connection. I discovered that my grandmother had met my husband's great-grandmother in the early part of the century.
Just through reading through the journal.
And just through reading through the journal. She wrote, Ada Diefendorf Bass was a young woman, and she'd come out from the east. She made her way to Prescott, Arizona, and she arranged to take a trip, and that's how she met William Wallace Bass. And little did she know, within a year, she would be married to this man. And she kept a diary of her life there. And this was the diary that we read years later. And it talked about not only my grandmother, but famous people. Zane Grey stayed there. William Randolph Hearst, who they referred to as Billy.
There was a quote you put in the book that he thought he was bigger than the Grand Canyon.
He
was like, not
that
awed
was a great quote.
Well, and George Wharton James.
Just amazing people that stayed there. They walked with people through history, and I think they were pretty much unaware of the fact that they were doing this. So it was just an amazing story, and I just felt this connection for years. I just thought that I just really wanted to write it. And to be honest with you, I have to be honest. I have not written a letter in probably 10 years. And then about 3.5 years ago, I had this little epiphany. I went, I'm going to write a book. And
well, knowing that,
the arrogance of saying that, I don't know.
Well, that's maybe what makes the book so good. We get a lot of things sent our way, and I didn't have high hopes, but after reading it, you have your way with words is just really it draws you in. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing though.
Thank
I have
you
read
so
through
much.
And it just what you said about the journals, that they were very sparse, and that just kind of intrigued you, like, why didn't they tell more details? And so you've done a lot of research to fill in the blanks and tell a story. I just kind of wanted to give you, our listeners, one little example. So Ada lost a child, Edith, later on. How old was Edith at that time?
Edith was about 20, let me think, she was probably about 25, 26 when she died. She was my husband's grandmother.
Okay.
And that was a heartbreaking story.
Well, and then so it was just in Ada's diary, it just said she's gone, you know, just kind of gave the bare details.
Bare minimum.
And mm-hmm. so I just wanted to kind of show the audience how you filled that in. It bothered you, the fact that, hey, this was a wonderful young woman. Why didn't she say more? And then you say, then it dawned on me that entry was the last thing she ever wrote. The journal was barely half full. Countless empty pages followed that last entry. I instantly felt guilt, then empathy for Ada, for there on those empty pages laid a mother's heart. That's wonderful writing. So you've done
Thank
a great job
so
filling
much.
In the story. And the book itself is embellished with Megan's graphics, and it's just put together.
It is. And one of the things we wanted to do with the book is there are photographs, family photographs of their lives at the canyon. There are excerpts from letters, from the diary. And then Megan has written and performed songs that correspond to parts of the book. And so that's denoted in the book as well.
And it's really meant as a multi-sensory experience. Truly, the idea is to surround the senses almost in the way that the Grand Canyon surrounds all of the senses, your entire being, I think. And so we really wanted to try and build and create something artistically where you can actually just be enveloped, I think, by the stories and what's shared, and truly experience it on all levels.
Who in the family was the poet? There's some poetry in the book.
It's
really good.
There are several pieces of poetry.
When I read the one to him last night, we were at dinner. I was like, listen to this part. It was by W.W.
It was by W.W. Well, that was one of the things he did. He wrote a book. It was called Rhymes and Jingles. And one of the things he would do, because this was like a 7-8 hour trip from Williams by stagecoach, if you can imagine that, to the Grand Canyon. And he would entertain people with his rhymes and jingles and with his poetry. And some of it was really hokey. Some of it was really quite endearing. And some of it, there's a rant in there about frozen potatoes where he's really irritated with the railroad. And that's a really funny one, too. And also, I write about different people that went to the canyon. One of them was Captain Jack Crawford, the poet scout, who was my all-time favorite. I had never even heard about this man before. He was just amazing. And there's some folksy poetry in there. I actually wrote a poem, My Little Valentine, to Captain Jack. So there's a variety. You're right.
Okay.
There's all sorts of poetry in there.
Rosie, you love the Grand Canyon. Were you familiar with any of his history at all, just from hanging out at the canyon?
I was aware of the getting the horse, the livery stable going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where in the canyon, where we would know now, with the village, hermit's roost, where along there did they first settle?
It was actually about 20, 25 miles farther from there. It's near the south rim, but it's about 20, 25 miles past there was where he originally, stopped
and
he really, set up his first camp. He also not only would take people down Bass Trail, but down to the Havasupai Reservation as well.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, we appreciate y'all joining us this morning. And again, the name of the book is?
Stories the Grand Canyon Keeps, A Grand Family Legacy.
Oh, and I'm on the website now, and it's fabulous. This is great Arizona history, which you all know is one of my favorite topics.